John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Such a crucial, crucial passage in Scripture. So let's pray. Father, bless our time now in your word. I ask that you would open up truth to us. I ask, Lord, that you would give us great insight this morning and great revelation, that we might become fruitful. Encourage your people this morning. Lift up your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. My parents used to give me a hard time about some of the music that I used to listen to as a teenager. Parents, you ever do that with your teenagers? No. Yeah. They used to say, that's not music. What is that? Can't hear the words. And the words that we can't hear, they don't make any sense. That's noise. And, you know, looking back on it, they were right with a lot of the music that I used to listen to. But, you know, my dad was an Elvis Presley fan, and a lot of his songs didn't make a whole lot of sense either. In fact, much of the 50s rock and roll songs didn't make sense. For example, here's a chorus from a widely successful 50s rock song. It goes, a bop, a bop, a loomop, a lop, bop, boom. Tutti frutti, all Rudy. Tutti frutti, all Rudy. Tutti frutti, all Rudy. Tutti frutti, all Rudy. Next line. Tutti frutti, all Rudy. A bop, a bop, a loomop, a lop, bop, boom. Now, what's that all about? Now, I've come to understand that music is very, very important, and we should have good music in our lives to influence us. And teenagers, by the way, you should be so grateful for the wonderful Christian music that we have available today. It certainly has come a long way, and that's wonderful stuff. But just, I guess, to borrow a line from that song, Tutti Frutti, I want you to know, Christian, people of God, that God wants you to be fruity. Not fruity in the Little Richard sense of the word, or the loony sense of the word. God wants us to be fruitful. God wants us to be fruit-bearing Christians. God wants us to achieve maximum fruitfulness in our lives. And that's the whole point of the passage that we're about to study. In our passage this morning, Jesus, for the seventh time in the Gospel of John, says, I am. And this time he says, I am the true vine. That is, Jesus is the source of fruitfulness. And our job is to abide in him. Stay connected to him. Let's read this wonderful passage, beginning in verse 1 of John chapter 15. Jesus says to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. The vineyard is the backdrop of this passage. This is taking place on the night that Jesus gets arrested. He had spent time with his disciples in the upper room. And then they left the upper room and they were headed down on that fateful evening to the Garden of Gethsemane. And on the way, no doubt they passed vineyards. Or they may have passed the temple that was adorned with a golden vine right at the top. And this got Jesus to thinking, and he gives spiritual truth based on the vineyard. A vineyard is a plot of land where grapes are raised. And these grapes are turned into raisins or wine. And it was a big market. It was a big deal in those days. If you had a vineyard, you sort of arrived in those days. It was like getting the white picket fence that we all dream for as Americans. The vineyard was protected by a hedge. There was usually a watchtower located on site that was manned during the harvest to protect from thieves. It normally had a wine press all in it, ready to go. And the preparation of that vineyard, that area, was very difficult. It took hard work. They would prepare the soil. They would dig out all the rocks, all the limestone. The guys would work so hard to level everything out. And then once the soil was prepared, they would plant young, tender vines in rows about 2.5 meters apart. And when those vines started to grow, the work really increased because they would inspect those vines. They would inspect those branches. And as they grew, they would put the fruit-bearing branches up on little supports and lift them off the ground to give them maximum access to sunlight and air. And they would maintain it. There was constant pruning, constant cleaning, constant inspection. And with every vineyard, there was a main gardener called the vine dresser. This was the person in charge. Now, he had assistants, but he was in charge. And the goal of the vine dresser was to make sure that that vineyard produced maximum fruit. Maximum fruitfulness was the goal. Produce as many grapes as possible. To make as many raisins and produce as much wine as possible. That was the goal. And that's still the case today. That's the goal. Those of you who are businessmen and you own your own business, how do you grow your business? Do you just settle for whatever, or do you want to make sure that it yields maximum fruitfulness? You want to make sure it maximizes fruitfulness, correct? So you do all sorts of things to do that and make sure that's successful, and that's what they would do in the vineyard as well. By the way, what state in our country produces the most wine? California, they do quite a good job, the Napa Valley. California produced 444 million gallons of wine a couple years ago. 90% of all U.S. wine production, making California the leading wine-producing state in America. If California were a nation, it would be the fourth leading wine-producing country in the world, behind Italy, France, and Spain. But this was the goal, to make it fruitful, to make it successful. And Jesus is using that environment, that system, to give us a spiritual truth. There's symbols here, aren't there? Look what it says in verse 1. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." Look at verse 5. "I am the vine, you are the branches." God the Father is the vine dresser. He's the gardener. He's the one who's dedicated to maximizing fruitfulness. Jesus is the true vine. He is the source of fruitfulness. Who are the branches? You, if you're a born-again Christian. The Christian, the people of God, they are the branches. They've received Jesus. They've been grafted to the vine. And our job as Christians is to bear fruit. Keep this in mind. Our job is not to produce fruit. We're to bear fruit that gets produced in us by our connection to the vine. And listen. It is God's business to make His people fruitful. He is working to make us fruitful. It's interesting that in the Old Testament, the vine and the vineyard used to be symbolic of the nation of Israel. Did you know that God wanted the nation of Israel to be fruitful? To multiply and to show the works of God? And God did so much for that nation, those of you who know your Old Testament history. But the nation of Israel did not do well with all that they had been given. In fact, in a crucial passage in Isaiah chapter 5, Isaiah says, "Let me sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out its stones and planted it with choicest vine. He built a tower in its midst and also made a wine press in it. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, please, between me and my vineyard. What more could I have done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? And now, please let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it shall be burned, and break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down." Folks, the nation of Israel was to be that nation of fruitfulness. God cultivated that nation to make that happen. But, as you know, Israel rejected Messiah. And we know that God is not through with the nation of Israel. He will take up their cause later. But folks, He has created a new, unique people on planet Earth, comprised of both Jew and Gentile. It's the church, and we are the ones who are to be fruitful today. The church is to be fruitful. Christians who make up the church are to be fruitful. California gave 440 millions of gallons of wine to the planet a few years ago. God wants to place millions of fruitful Christians on planet Earth. That's His desire. And this passage makes something very clear. God is committed to making us fruitful, isn't He? The whole emphasis of this passage is fruitfulness. 6 times in these 8 verses, that word fruit shows up. And there's a progression in fruitfulness. Look at verse 2. Jesus says, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit." Look down at verse 8. "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." Jesus says, "I want you to bear fruit, then I want you to bear more fruit." Then he closes by saying, "I want you to bear much fruit." That's his desire, that you would be as fruity as possible, as fruitful as possible. One of my favorite characters in the Old Testament is Joseph. You remember Joseph and his story? I just admire him so much, how God used him despite all the trials and tribulations that he faced. But it was said of Joseph in Genesis chapter 49, verse 22, and this was God's assessment of Joseph. "Joseph is a fruitful bough by a well. His branches run over the wall." Joseph was so fruitful that his branches went over the wall and people around him could pick and enjoy fruit That is what God wants for each one of us. The vine dresser would do whatever it took to make it as maximally fruitful as possible. And I believe that's what God wants to do with our church and with you, Christian, to arrange things, monitor things, tweak things, move things around to make you as fruitful as possible. We also know that He's dedicated to making us fruitful by the corrective measures that He will take. You see that in this passage? Look at verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. When God sees a branch that's not bearing fruit, when He sees a Christian that's not bearing fruit, the passage here says that He takes away that branch. That's kind of scary, isn't it? That's kind of negative. Actually, I want to explain that. I don't believe that that's the preferred interpretation, the preferred translation. It says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. That's the Greek word, aero. And I want to give you the facts on that word. 25 times in Scripture, it is translated like the New King James translated it here, take away. 32 times in Scripture, it is translated, take up. Pick up. Speaking of somebody who would pick up a stone or pick up something and move it. 4 times in the New Testament, it's translated, lift up, like a person lifts up their eyes or a person lifts up their voice to the Lord. And I believe that's the preferred interpretation here. I don't see this as negative. I see it as positive. Man, if a vine dresser in those days saw a branch that was struggling to bear fruit, they wouldn't chop it off and get away. You know what they'd do? They'd lift it up higher onto these supports to get more access to the sun and more air. And I believe that's what God will do with you. Maybe you're here this morning and you're a brand new Christian and you're struggling in your life and you want to be producing fruit, but you're having a hard time. Or you've wondered about why you don't see much fruit in your life and you're worried about it and you're concerned. Listen, I want you to know that you are under the special care of God and His eyes of attention are upon you. And He would seek this morning to lift you up. To raise you up. And my prayer this morning is that you would discover the secret to being fruitful for Jesus Christ. Notice what else it says there. Verse 2, every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. What does God do with the Christian who's fruitful? He prunes. Now, isn't that a weird concept to us? I mean, those of you maybe, I've never really worked in agriculture or viticulture, nothing like that. And that seems so weird to me that when the plant starts to be fruitful, you take out things and snip them off. Why would you do that? Well, there's a mystery in that, and the people that do that really know what they're doing. They're drawing back and they're storing energy in the hopes that that plant or that bush would become much more fruitful later. I knew a little bit about pruning, and I decided to prune back some of my vines in my backyard, and they've never returned. I killed them. I didn't know what I was doing, but there are people that really know what they're doing, and under the pruner's knife, that branch becomes so fruitful. It abounds, and it's wonderful. Brother and sister in Christ, if you're fruitful, God will prune you. He prunes every branch, it says, that's fruitful. Every one. God will many times find that offshoot in your life, that twig, that dead wood, and He'll snip it so that the energy will go towards where it needs to go. A Christian who's been fruitful and then backslides and gets into problems and sin, listen, pruning can be seen as beneficial discipline to you to get you back on the right track. And guess what? God will even prune away things in your life that are fruitful to make you more fruitful. And that explains a lot of things to me. There are many times where I see a Christian who's serving the Lord and they're involved in ministry and they have fruitful ministries, and all of a sudden they come across tough times, difficult things. And there's many times I've wondered, Lord, why is that happening to them? They're being so fruitful. You're using them so much in that activity or that ministry that they're a part of. Why would they have to go through a hard time like that? And the answer is, God's pruning them to make them more fruitful. See, He's committed to maximum fruitfulness. There have been times where I've had friends in the ministry who have been so fruitful in different ministries that they're a part of. And all of a sudden they get poor health and they're taken out for days, weeks, months, possibly even years. And I think, why? They're being pruned so that they'll be more fruitful. I can remember a time in my life, I was at the School of Ministry at Calvary of Albuquerque. Part dreams, ready to serve the Lord. I mean, the day I graduated from there, I wanted to go out and plant a church. And then we went into Europe and we'd had this wonderful short-term mission trip. And I came back and I'm ready to go, man. Who will have me? I'll go and start a church anywhere. And you know what? Nothing ever came up for a year and a half or so. And I remember thinking, what is going on? Lord, I'm ready now. And the Lord was saying, you're not ready now. I need to cut. I need to prune. I need to trim away some dead wood. Nobody likes that process. It hurts, doesn't it? To be pruned by the Lord. But listen, you got to trust Him. He knows what He's doing. He's not like me. He's not going to kill you. He's an expert pruner. He'll know exactly where to cut. And His goal is to make you fruitful and cooperate with Him, my brother and sister in Christ. I've noticed that when the Lord prunes us, it's usually to deal with our character. Usually when God is cutting things away from our lives, there's a character issue that He's dealing with in our lives. You see, God is more concerned about the minister than He is the ministry. And He'll cut things back so that His people will be filled with things like humility, patience, perseverance, love, joy. I have also noticed that the Lord prunes us when we stop being fruitful in areas that take priority. You know, there's a lot of people that get in full-time ministry and they might have a fruitful ministry, but they lose all their fruit in their own family. There's many pastors who will help fix other people's marriages while their own marriage falls apart. And you know what? God wants you to be fruitful in every realm of your life. And His desire is to make maximum fruitfulness in every area of your life. He's committed. What type of fruit does a Christian bear? Do we bear grapes? No. It's obvious allegory here. What kind of fruit does a Christian bear? Look at a couple areas of fruitfulness right here in the text, verse 7. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. An area of fruitfulness that God wants to produce in your life is a wonderful understanding of His word. He wants His words to abide in you. To understand the Bible, to understand the written word of God, and to develop that relationship with the Lord through His word. Another area of fruitfulness that God would want to give you is answered prayer. A life where your prayers are being answered. And by answered prayer, I mean God says yes to the prayers you ask. Verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Answered prayer. And that is a process, my friend, because God has to grow you and make you a Christian who will pray for that which God would like to see accomplished, where your desire comes in line with the desires of God, and there's a growth process, and He wants to make you fruitful in that. To grow up in our prayer life. I told you before how my brother, when he was 5, 6 years old, he used to pray, Dear God, bless Mommy, bless Daddy, bless Batman, and bring me candy. That might be funny and cute as a 5-year-old, but you know, some adults still pray to God like that. Childish sorts of prayers. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Bless me, bless me, bless me. You know, you have to grow to a point where your desires and your prayers line up with God's desires. And when that happens, your prayers will be answered, my friend. I think the main type of fruit, though, that Jesus is getting at here, we call the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is the character of Jesus Christ being produced in you. The fruit of the Spirit is when a Christian becomes more and more Christ-like. You become more and more like Jesus Christ. And that is what God wants you to do. That is what God has in store for you. He wants to produce the fruit of the Spirit in you. And my friends, listen, I think that is where it's at in the Christian life. On Wednesday night, we're talking about spiritual gifts. And it's fun to consider those things. And it's fun to consider ministries and doing things through for the Lord, whatever, getting involved in activities. But listen, the essential thing that God wants to do in you is change your character. Change you. Change me. God wants to make Terry a one who displays the fruit of the Spirit in the character of Christ, and that's what He wants to do for you. Will you cooperate with Him? Will you allow Him? There's other fruit that I know God would want to produce in our lives. I do believe that soul winning is fruit. Soul winning. Leading other people to Jesus Christ. When Paul wrote to the Romans, he said, I can't wait to join you that I might have some fruit among that city. Winning people to Christ is fruit. God wants to make us Christians who are winning other peoples to Christ. Leading people to salvation. And you know what? That should be the norm of a Christian. I don't want to give anybody a guilt trip here, but some statistics are pretty disturbing on witnessing. Recent statistics have found 95% of all Christians have never won a soul to Christ. 80% of all Christians do not consistently witness for Christ. Less than 2% are involved in the ministry of evangelism. 71% do not give towards the financing of the Great Commission. If those are true, we are in trouble. God wants us to be fruitful. To see people coming to Christ. Now listen, you can't save anybody. It's not your responsibility to save anybody. Who saves people? God. The Holy Spirit. But He's given us the responsibility to open the mouth. To speak forth the gospel. And that means you, not the pastor, not the evangelist, you in your office with the people you work with, in your family, in your community, sharing the gospel with them. Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. The way I read that, there's people all around you in your life that are just waiting to get picked. They're just waiting to get saved. And they're looking for someone to open their mouth and share the gospel. I challenge you in that. Be fruitful. Okay, so now that I've made everybody feel guilty, how are you going to go out and get all this fruit? You're going to walk out of here and roll up those sleeves and you're going to work hard now. You're going to go out and preach and you're going to go out and you're going to produce fruit, man. You're going to get patient right now. You're going to go and you're going to work hard and you're going to be... No, 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 no. You ever seen a fruit branch or heard a fruit branch grunt and groan? What's producing fruit? You know what a branch does? It just simply stays connected to the vine. For you see, the vine supplies all the nutrients and all the energy. It's the vine that's producing the fruit on the branch. All the branch does is bear it. Look at verse 4. Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Do you believe that? Without us, without Jesus, we can do nothing. He is the vine. He is the source of fruitfulness. Your job is not to struggle to become more fruitful. Your job is to stay connected to Jesus Christ. He's the source. Our responsibility all through this passage is captured up in one word, abide. Abide. 6 times it says, abide. Abide in me and I in you. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit.
Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. Verse 7, if you abide in me, that is the responsibility for us as Christians, to abide in Jesus Christ. And that word means simply to stay put. Stay put. Remain. Remain in Jesus Christ. Stay connected to Him. Is this mystical? Is abiding in Christ sort of a mystical thing where you get up every morning and you sit down, cross your legs, and just kind of close your eyes, and somebody walks by and says, what are you doing? And you say, I'm abiding in Christ. They'll tell you, get up and get a job. And they should. Abiding in Christ is very practical. It simply means that you are to guard and nurture your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You are to spend time with Jesus. You are to maintain a vital spiritual connection to Jesus Christ. And you abide very practically. It's simply by practicing the four basic foundational principles of Christian growth. The Word of God we're to read, we're to memorize, we're to meditate upon. That's hearing from Him, praying, talking to God, fellowship, hanging out with God's people. Evangelism, going out and sharing your faith with others. Folks, that is what we are to do as Christians, and do it for the right reasons. The right reason we do that is because we are abiding in Jesus Christ. We're staying connected to Him. It's not about checking those off like a spiritual list. It's spending time with your Lord. Staying connected to Him. Having sweet fellowship with the Lord Jesus. Daily, consistently. Brother and sister in Christ, there is no substitute for that. There is no substitute. Many Christians will get distracted. They'll say, oh, I want to be fruitful, so they're going to go to some new Christian seminar. Or I'm going to be fruitful. I want to go check out this new worship experience. Or there's this brand new book that's traveling and just grabbing the church in America by storm. Everybody's getting this book and having a study group. And I got to get it. That's the key to fruitfulness. Listen, it's not. Those things may be helpful. But the only thing that really matters is that you personally are connected to Jesus Christ regularly. There's a lot of machinery in Christianity, especially here in America. All the resources, all the things that we can do. Listen, none of it matters if you're not connected to Jesus Christ on a personal level daily. It's staying close to Him. Dr. Howard Hendricks tells of a small town in Texas where one year the school burned to the ground with the loss of more than 200 lives. All because they didn't have a sprinkler system. They began to rebuild after the initial shock had passed and called in the foremost company in fire prevention equipment to install a new sprinkler system. When the new school was opened for public inspection, guides pointed out the new sprinklers in each room to alleviate fears of another disaster. The school operated without incident for a number of years. Then they needed to add on to the existing structure. And as work progressed, they made a startling discovery. The new fire extinguishing equipment had never been connected to the water supply. They had the latest in technology and equipment. Yes, it was entirely useless. And I wonder if that describes the church in America. All this equipment, all these resources, all these things that we do,
But have we been connected to the vine? Is that important? Oh, my friend, God wants to make you fruitful, and you'll be fruitful if you stay connected to Jesus Christ. Amen? And this one thing I will guarantee you, my brother and sister in Christ. If you maintain a wonderful personal relationship with your Lord as a Christian, you will be fruitful. You will achieve maximum fruitfulness. Because He's the source of fruit. You will see people come to Christ in your life. You will see the fruit of the character of Christ being produced in your life. And it's all because you will be connected to Jesus Christ. And that will work for you even in evangelism. Elton Trueblood, the Quaker scholar, once compared evangelism to fire. Evangelism occurs, he said, when Christians are so ignited by their contact with Christ that they in turn set other fires. It's easy to determine when something is aflame. It ignites other material. Any fire that does not spread will eventually go out. If you're daily connected to Jesus Christ, He'll ignite you and you'll start fires all over the place. Not bad fires, good fires. If you are not fruitful, you will not know joy. You will not know satisfaction in this life. There's a tough verse there, isn't there, in verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, Jesus said, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. Tough verse. There are some that believe that that's speaking that a Christian can lose their salvation. If a person becomes a Christian and they never are fruitful, they lose their salvation and they're burned. There are others that believe that this is speaking of false professing Christians. I do not believe that. I believe that this passage is clearly speaking about genuine believers. But I also believe that a true, genuine Christian cannot lose their salvation. This whole context in this passage is about bearing fruit. And what this is saying, a Christian who's not bearing fruit and refuses to cooperate with the Lord, they become worthless in this life. They're cast away. They're thrown out. They're withered. They're not useful. They're not doing what God wants them to do. And I guarantee you, you will not have a satisfied life, not like one that you could have, doing all that you can for the kingdom of God. God wants you to be fruitful. To satisfy you. And to reach other people through your life. Very, very simple concept, but I want you to understand that many, many Christians forget this. Even many strong Christians who have been used by the Lord in mighty ways for many years forget this simple concept. You ever heard of Hudson Taylor? Great missionary to China. You think of an awesome man of God who saw a lot of fruit. Well, there was a time when Hudson Taylor was working and worrying so frantically that his health was about to break. Just when his friends feared he was near a nervous breakdown, this is a man of God, Taylor received a letter from fellow missionary John McCarthy that told of a discovery McCarthy had made from John chapter 15, the joy of abiding in Christ. MacArthur's letter said in part, abiding, not striving or struggling, looking off unto Him, trusting Him for present power. This is not new, and yet 'tis new to me.
Christ, literally now, all seems to me the power, the only power for service, the only ground for unchanging joy. As Hudson Taylor read this letter at his mission station on Saturday, September 4th, 1869, his own eyes were opened. As I read, he recalled, I saw it all. I looked to Jesus, and when I saw, oh, how the joy flowed. Writing to his sister in England, he said, as to work, mine was never so plentiful, so responsible, or so difficult, but the weight and strain are all gone. The last month or more has been perhaps the happiest of my life, and I long to tell you a little of what the Lord has done for my soul. When the agony of soul was at its height, a sentence in a letter from dear MacArthur. McCarthy was used to remove the scales from my eyes, and the Spirit of God revealed the truth of our oneness with Jesus as I've never known it before. McCarthy, who had been much exercised by the same sense of failure in his life, but saw the light before I did, wrote, how to get faith strengthened? Not by striving after faith, but by resting on the faithful one. As I read, I saw it all. As I thought of the vine and the branches, what light the blessed Spirit poured into my soul. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. I don't care how fruitful you've been. The same principle applies right now to you. You must stay connected to Jesus Christ. And let all the complexities of Christianity melt away. And keep your eyes fixed upon Jesus Christ, the author of your faith. Amen. Let your prayer be, Lord, let me live my life for you. Let your prayer be, Lord Jesus, live your life through me. As I stay connected to you. Christian, are you abiding? If you're not, I would like to invite you this morning to return to your first love. Come back to Him. Renew your personal relationship with Him. Perhaps you're here this morning and you've never experienced a true relationship with Christ Jesus. You can have one right now. Jesus died on the cross for your sins and rose again that you might become a member of His family. This morning, right now, you can become a branch grafted into the vine. And you can begin a journey with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Let's put this in our heart. Father, thank you, Lord, for the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful simplicity of your word. And Lord, forgive us when we make it so complex. I pray this morning that all of us, your people, that we would guard our relationship with you, that we would nurture it. That we would spend time with you, not in a legalistic sort of way, but Lord, because we simply love you and enjoy being with you. And Father, I pray that as we spend time with you, your energy, your power would flow through us and that you would produce fruit in our lives. I ask and pray this morning for anyone here who's weary, been serving you for many years and they're weary. I pray, Lord, that you would revitalize them and remind them of the simple, needful thing that they're to be a part of, and that is just simply staying connected to you. If that's you this morning, release that burden to your Lord. Father, I pray that you would produce fruit in our lives in every area of life. For marriages that are troubled here in this fellowship and others, I ask, Lord, that you would cause both members to begin abiding in you. Forgive us, Lord, when we run to all these different books that are written and all these resources and we forget to just fall on our knees before you and abide in you and let you produce the fruit. And then I want to pray for anyone here this morning who's never received you. If you're here this morning and you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, you've never become a branch grafted into the vine, you have an opportunity right now to do so. If you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you'd like to do so right now, today, I'd like you to raise up your hand high so I can see it. Raise it up. Lift it up. You have an opportunity right now. Just a couple more moments. Church, let's all stand. Lift up your people, Lord. Raise them up. Comfort them